Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. We are here in Las Vegas at the Sirius XM studio. We like these people. I was going to say we love them, but we like them. We have a strong like, which is enough. I think that's enough. And they let us use the studio, and we are very grateful. And you should use it if you're at the Wynn Encore, which I have almost only positive things to say about the Wynn and the Encore. Almost. Showing their age a little bit? Yes. Is the service where it was when it opened? No. The front desk, you have to walk down after 1 a.m. or something. They won't talk to you on a physical, like they won't talk to you on a phone. I don't get that. But that is not as important as the pedophile cannibal ring that runs the world. I mean, that is true. My gripes with the win are small compared to the pedophile cannibal ring that does seem to be running the world. And I think it has, and we appreciate everybody listening to the last episode, and we tried to contextualize what's happening. It's difficult now. For example, you know, you look at the Kirk thing, right? Remember that? You look at that, and you try to zoom out and go, all right, tragic death on its face. We see a furry, the furry's boyfriend, the thing. Okay. Then we zoom out. We go, wait, the wife's weird. Something up with the wife. The organization's weird. Something's up with them. You know, 3 weeks after the guy's dead, she's out there with sparklers. You know, they're doing Cirque du Soleil. Something's off. Something's weird. Now we find out, like, the wife is, it's beyond weird, it's creepy, and there's a very good chance that this woman was his handler, that he was this powerful young guy who raised a lot of money for a lot of people and took a lot of money from a lot of people, and money's never free. So you think about it, you say you have this, how do you direct a guy like that who's incredibly important? He's running the largest young voter, you know, registration organization. He's handling large sums of money. He's out there sculpting narrative as it regards to domestic and foreign policy. So you have a handler who comes in, and she may have loved him. I'm sure she loved him. Why wouldn't a handler love her husband? Because even though she was his Mossad handler and probably had him killed, no marriage is perfect. None. Not one. No marriage is perfect. Truly. No marriage is perfect. There's no marriage that is perfect. She may have been his handler. And they came to her one day and said, he found out you're his handler. Or she might have told them. She might have said, listen, we got problems. This guy, and I'm not the only one saying this, don't kill me. I'm saying, we're not breaking news here. We're not breaking ground. We're reviewing. We're analyzing. We're like behind the eight ball. This woman may have said, called someone up and said, we got bad news here. This guy found all the laundered money, and now he knows I'm his handler, and he thinks that invalidates the marriage because I'm his handler. And they were like, can we do anything about it? Is there anything we can do here? And she goes, I don't know. And then they go, well, you know, we might have to, you know. And she cried, and she was sad. Whatever. And I'm not saying any of that happened. I'm saying that's more reasonable than what kind of we're being told. That's all. That's more reasonable than what we're being told. That's all in my book. Something was deeply off there. In the same way that all the people that are defending, all the people that are saying that like these files don't show a trafficking ring or they don't show anything and that everybody's overreacting and that nobody, this is a moral panic and people don't understand what's going on, to me, are either doing that, being willfully disingenuous for whatever reason, or they've gone mad. They've gone like crazy. And that's okay too. These are thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of documents. Why would the FBI have a case? Why would there be thousands of pages of documents in a case where nothing happened? It seemed really weird if nothing happened. All of these women for years had just been wrongly accusing all of these powerful people. So it seems like it would be a bit strange that that was the case. But there's a lot of people out there that are saying it's not a big deal. Pam Bondi, you got to remember, Pam Bondi is from Florida. She was, I believe, the attorney general of the state of Florida. She's way in over her head. I feel bad for her. She's like a real housewife. She's not supposed to be doing this. They all get in there and they all think, you know, they all go, oh, we're going to, justice is here. You know, like the Avengers are here, her and Cash and Bongino. He's already back to podcasting. It's in under a year. She has no idea what's going on. She gets in there and these people are all unprepared. They're all unprepared for what is about to happen. They don't know. She doesn't know what's about to happen. She has no idea. And then they're given a choice. They're like, you're involved now in this cover-up. This is you. This is on you. You're in it with us. Kej Patel's in it because he's like probably being, you know, he's another one's being handled. He's another one's being either controlled to some degree. He's lying. He knows. So Pam Bondi, let's look again. And I'm not saying Kej Patel's girlfriend's doing it, but others have. Take a look at Kej Patel's girlfriend. Some people have said that. I've never said it, and I never would, because he's been litigious about that. They've sued you. If you've said this very talented country singer is some type of tool to control Kej Patel, you get sued. So I don't want to get sued, and I don't believe that. I believe it's a relationship based on love. Now, moving on, Pam Bondi, here she is crashing out, as the kids would say, crashing out about why she has not indicted any of the billionaires, kings, prime ministers, ex-presidents that are on the Epstein list. Now, we know the answer to that. The answer to that is that she's not able to. She's told she's not allowed to. And she herself, what does she want to pick a fight with Sultan whoever? I was so worried that was the guy that owns the hotel that I stay at. I was really worried because the guy who owns the Beverly Hills Hotel, which I love, and I stay at, but also I go to lunch here all the time. He was the Sultan, but it's not him. It's not him. And if I had found out that the owner of the hotel that I love was torturing people, it would have been a real moral quandary for me about whether or not I should go there. Because I don't like when people get tortured, obviously, but I don't love the Four Seasons over there. I don't love it. And I think they're the top hotel. So then I'd have to be in my car going, well, if I don't go to this hotel, I mean, does that result in people not getting tortured? Like, it doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem to make. So let's take a look at Pam Bondi again here. Pam Bondi, this is her. And none of these people can keep their cool because they're under tremendous pressure. You know, and I'm not defending any of them, But they're under tremendous pressure because the things that are in these documents are will unravel governments. So let's take a look here at Pam Bondi.
The Dow right now is over. The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming.
That's right.
That's what we
should be talking
about.
Who cares if we kidnap their children? What does it matter? Who cares if we kidnap their... The Dow is up. The Dow's up. Who cares if we snatch your kids and took them to an island to abuse them? The Dow is up. So what? So what? We're part of an ancient blood cult. The Dow is up. So what? We perform sacrifices to deities so that we can have their power. The Dow is up. You know what the NASDAQ's doing? The blue chips? The S&P 500? Why don't you shut your mouth about the kids that we abducted and sacrificed so we can please Lucifer or Baal? So what? The Dow is up. So what? We worship Baal. Maybe you should thank Baal for the Dow being up 50,000. You're a pretty good stock trader, Raskin. From what I hear, maybe instead of angering Baal, you thank Baal. Thank Baal for what he's done for American 401ks. Baal. Baal has done more for the S&P 500 than Joe Biden did. Joe Biden didn't do anything for the S&P 500. We had to go to Moloch and Baal. That's Pam Bondi telling everyone to thank Baal, the demon Baal, for the S&P 500. And don't worry about the child sacrifices. But by the way, that's kind of what she's saying. It's actually what she's saying. Now, she's not articulating it as intelligently as I am. She frankly doesn't have the ability. What she's saying is that Moloch and Baal are protecting the American economy, and that if we have to sacrifice a few people, it's not the end of the world. And if you keep making it a big deal, if you keep prattling on about these disappeared women and children, you're going to anger the gods of the stock market. That's what Pam Bondi is saying. The gods that we worship are of the stock market. A lot of pedophiles in the world, very few of them have what I have behind me, which is a temple on the side of the island. Temple. Let's watch the rest, please. Let's see the rest of this Pam Bondi clip, where this, again, is the Attorney General Pam Bondi, friend of the show, reminding Congress that it is not Joe Biden and Kamala Harris or Donald Trump, or the chairman of the Fed. It is Baal. It is the entity Baal and Moloch who protect the American economy. Here she is.
We should be talking about making Americans safe.
That's right.
We should be talking about, what does a Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
Mr. Jordan, Mr. Jordan.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding? What does Moloch have to do with the Dow? Are you nuts? You're asking what Moloch, the god of child sacrifice, has to do with the Dow? The Dow is fake. You know it's fake. Finance is fake. It's what we say it is. It's only to please Baal. I mean, what does the Dow have to do with Baal? Everything. But here's the thing, too. I want to just go into the Savannah Guthrie thing for a minute here. I don't know what's going on with the Guthrie family. I hope her mother comes back alive. I don't know what's happening. This is why I have not weighed in on it. Can you get up this video with Savannah Guthrie and the family here? Who kidnaps an old person? Nobody wants an old person. Nobody even wants the old people they have. Nobody even wants an old person that lives in their home. We as a society, in Japan and stuff like Italy, they keep the old people in the house till they die. They look at us like barbaric and inhumane because we take our old people and we put them in horrible nursing homes and they do fight clubs with them. We don't even want old people. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants an old person. Why would you abduct an old person? And by the way, I love old people. I'm just saying this is the way it is. Sadly, in our society, nobody's like going crazy for the old people. Jeffrey Epstein wasn't abducting old people. So this seems like weird that this elderly woman is abducted. And I don't know. I'm not judging them. I don't want to judge people that make ransom videos, although I feel like none of them are doing it effectively. But here we are. Savannah Guthrie and her family discussing here this horrible thing about her mother. I hope her mother comes back. Let's see. Here it is.
This morning, an emotional plea from Savannah Guthrie and her family.
What is happening?
We want to thank all of you for the prayers for our beloved mom, Nancy. We feel them.
Via social media, the Today Show host pleading for the safe return of her mother, Nancy, who police say was taken from her Tucson home. She was last seen around 9:45 Saturday night.
Our mom is our heart and our home.
This is terrible. All right, enough with this, but it is sad. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it. They're saying it's an inside thing in the, I don't know, the brother-in-law or something. I don't know. I'm not going to go. We've got too much to do here. We hope she comes back, and we hope she comes back in one piece, which is a gruesome way to say it, but that is what people say. You hope she's back in one piece, really. I mean, I don't understand what exactly happened. I don't know who would do this or why anyone would take an old person and, I guess, hold her for ransom. Now, there's some uncomfortable stuff happening right now as well on the foreign policy side because the Epstein files are exposing. A lot of people don't want fully unredacted files because they say that it will expose national security secrets. And if we have the rest of the files and then if we unredact some of these files, we will have national security issues, meaning that Jeffrey Epstein, who was not running a trafficking ring, of course, that was told to us, but yet is somehow mixed up in national security to the extent that these unredacted files would cause like a tidal wave of problems for intelligence agencies and governments. But again, the guy that like wasn't doing anything somehow was doing something. So a lot of people are basically saying we don't want any of this to come out because it could be damaging to maybe existing relationships that the United States of America has. I don't know, particularly with Russia, which is our greatest ally and has been for a very long time. Russia is very close with the United States of America. Most of our congressmen go on trips to Russia. Russia's RAPAC is massively influential in American politics. RAPAC, the Russian American funding, you know, RAPAC. We're all criticizing RAPAC all the time. And, you know, Putin's been here seven times, visited the Oval Office since Trump was elected. We have tons of laws in America right now being proposed to limit anti-Russian speech. So I get it. You know, the mayor of Miami's a Russian and, you know, had the police show up at a woman's house who said something about Russia. It's weird. We have a weird relationship with Russia. You know, Russia spends a lot of money. Olga Ivanova, who's a Who owns the Dallas Mavericks, very powerful, lives in Russia part-time, in America part-time. Trump actually joked she might like Russia better than America. It was a bit. She is actually spending tons and tons of money in a Kentucky House race so that Thomas Massie can't get elected. Because, and what is Thomas Massie doing that's so disturbing to the Olga, the Russian oligarch? It's that he's wants the Epstein files released. So you have to imagine it's damaging to Russia because a Russian oligarch is dumping tons of money into a Kentucky Senate race so that Thomas Massie can't win because he's running partially on the platform of transparency for Epstein victims and consequences for the perpetrators of these horrible crimes. So I think that is obvious to most people that something is going on. So maybe that's one of the reasons that people don't want these files unredacted is because it will damage our very close, uniquely close, historically close relationship with Russia. We fund Russia. We give Russia money to fight a lot of wars. Russia has, potentially influenced our foreign policy to prioritize wars that maybe weren't great for America. So we got a big problem that's Russia. Obviously. It's obviously Russia. Tons of things, It is what it is. Good luck trying to get elected in this country criticizing Russia. You criticize Russia, they descend on you big time. Every year I see one or two people, maybe more, in my business have to clarify that they're actually not being anti-Russian. It's a thing. People have to do it. They come out and they go, my support for Georgia does not mean I am anti-Russian. And I just want to let people know that I've never been anti-Russian. I have Russian friends. So there's a huge Russia connection in these documents. The ex-prime minister of Russia used to stay at Epstein's house. Epstein's personal lawyer, Alan Moscow Face, is a very big proponent of Russia and Russian interests. There he is. So it's obvious. Even the president's daughter, which is kind of a rare thing, converted to being Russian. Kind of a rare thing because her husband, Jared St. Petersburgiewicz, was Russian. And the daughter, did you know this, converted to being Russian. So it's interesting. So Trump has a lot of respect for Russia and Russians. So that's what is being said. But by the way, what I just said is being said on CNN with a straight face and MSNBC and with a straight face. They're saying that this is he's a Russian asset, that Jeffrey Epstein worked for Russia. And that if you think anything else, can we get Alan Dershowitz up here talking about the Epstein Israel connection, which I think is hilarious. My favorite thing ever, Alan Dershowitz said, he goes, he didn't work for the Mossad. If he did, I would have gotten him like a better deal or a better. And again, none of this has anything to do with Jewish people or with Israel as a place. It has to do with powerful governments, the deep state of Israel working with America, and billionaires who are completely transforming a narrative in front of your face to completely fuck with your sense of reality, of what you know to be true. You know that Jeffrey Epstein is not a Russian asset, and it's hilarious. You know that Russia has very little power in America, and if Jeffrey Epstein worked for Russia, everybody in this country would know about it immediately, and you would have known about it years ago, because we'd be using it as a pretext to go to war with them. We'd be using it immediately. I mean, so it's just amazing. But again, it's one of those things where you have to just, even Kyle Rittenhouse is calling for Pam Bondi's resignation. It's got to be tough, huh? Even Kyle Rittenhouse is weighing in here, and Kyle Rittenhouse has had enough. When you've lost Kyle Rittenhouse, things aren't well. So we obviously have a national security issue that does not have to do with Russia. It has to do with Israel, if you're not an idiot. And that's one of the reasons that this is an uncomfortable discussion for a lot of people in Washington. And there's a lot of anti-Semitism where people will literally say, this is a cabal of all Jewish people that have ever existed or whatever. And it's easy to find that. You can find that easily. But if you're an intellectually honest person, you have to look at this and go, oh, he's clearly working with Israel to some degree. He has deep, deeply entrenched interests and relationships with that country. Why would Miriam Adelson be funding all this money for Thomas Massie's race? It doesn't make any sense. It makes absolutely no sense that a billionaire who splits her time between Israel and wherever, Dallas, I don't know where the hell she lives, but would care about Thomas Massie. It makes absolutely no sense that she'd give a shit about a congressman where? In Ohio, Kentucky? I think he's Kentucky. But why would she give a fuck? Why would she be dumping tens of millions of dollars into this race? Why? His main issue is the transparency of these files. He wants them out. So if you're trying to stop these files from coming out, we gotta look at why. Why would you care? And I think it's fair to say that Miriam Adelson doesn't want them out because it's embarrassing for Israel. It's like obvious to most people. You'd have to pay me so much money to not say that, because it would go against every logical fiber of my being. I'd have to come out and go, well, Miriam has always believed that, you know, there's lots of issues that she cares about, and Thomas is... No, it's 100% true. Now, the free press can do whatever they want. They can bring on anyone in the world to say that this wasn't a trafficking operation and it had nothing to do with it. Because, by the way, they tried. They're like, well, actually, nothing was happening. And you're like, okay, actually, he wasn't involved with intelligence. You're like, all right. Then the files came out and they're like, well, it's actually Russian intelligence. You're like, well, you just said it was nothing. Well, no, it's Russia. It's actually Russian intelligence. He hated Israel. He emailed one time he hated Israel. You know what I mean? It's like, I've emailed I hate ice cream. It's not the truth. You know what I mean? Like, it's what's the pattern of behavior here? So we have a little bit of an issue geopolitically with this, which is why it's been such a sticky situation. And everybody who's honest will tell you that. I know smart people. I know connected people. And they all tell you that. It's not even a secret behind the scenes at all. There's actually nobody of any intelligence behind the scenes that suggests any other rationale for this. They're not like, well, it could have been a lot of different things. Like, nah, he's working for Israel. And he got a little nutty. He got a little nutty. Now, I'm not saying they were like approving everything he did, obviously, but there was clearly some knowledge about what the man did. No one's friends with Jeffrey Epstein and has no idea what he's doing. Nobody has no idea. You're at least curious about what he's doing. Your wife's like, why does he have that island, Tom? I don't know. He's like, he likes nature. Is that what he likes, Tom? Nature? Yeah, you should see how passionate he is about the beach and all the different, you know, because it's amazing, all the different animals. It's like a nature preserve. It's a nature preserve? That's what he's preserving, Tom? Nature? Yeah. And that's what you did there. You went and what did you talk about on that island with him? Well, we just talked about how to start another, like, human race. That's it? That's all you talked about is how to start another human race with his DNA? That's it? You're sure?
Yeah, it's just all he wanted to discuss. It was like, what if there was another human race? It was just like him.
Okay, Tom. Fine. What else?
Well, you also talked about like time traveling. Would it affect, like, could you get hard if you like travel through time to like fuck someone in another dimension?
So that's all you discussed, Tom? That's all you discussed is if you went through time travel, would you still be able to get an erection to fuck someone in another dimension? That's all you talked about. Nothing else?
That's really it.
So that's all you talked about was seeding a new human race with his DNA and then going potentially to another time. And if you could get blood to your penis so you could have sex with a child in another dimension.
Yeah, I mean, not a child per se, but like, that's kind of what it was.
All right, fine. If that's all you talked about, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it if that's all you discussed. But I don't want you doing anything bad.
No, it's just talk.
Norwegian Crown Princess Mette Marit Jeffrey Epstein on November 2012. Soon people won't be able to make new humans anymore. We can just design them in a lab. Whoa. Pretty cool. Okay, so this is from HKH Kron Princessen to Jeffrey Epstein, and this is 2012. And here's what she writes to him. You always make me smile because you tickle my brain, but I want the data from now. Now, by the way, before I read this email, you are getting a glimpse into how the ruling class deals with each other. And a lot of them, like, yes, evil, yes, you know, soulless, but also we can't forget kind of retarded. Not the smartest. A lot of dad jokes, a lot of dumb shit. Like, it, you're not impressed with a lot of these emails. You're kind of like disturbed that like these are retarded, cannibal, pedophile Satanists. You're like, oh, this is not the, like, even the Luciferians have got to be like they're, even they're like, well, these people are kind of like, look, do you think that's a discussion they have? Like the Luciferian elite, do you think they're even like the new people are just, I mean, these people, it ain't what it used to be. It ain't what it, because nothing is. So even in the satanic blood cult, it still has to be, they're like, there's these people, they don't even know how to run their home. They don't even know how to run their estates. So many times I'll get a call from someone going, can you help me out? There's blood in the barn, you know. They burned down like two of their houses on their property in a ritual. These people just, they don't have it. They don't have it like we used to have, because that, these are the conversations that are happening, by the way, with the Luciferian elite somewhere in Switzerland. Some guy's putting a little cheese fondue into his mouth and going, they just don't have, you know how much stuff I've had to clean up literally and figuratively. You always make me smile because you tickle my brain, but I want the data from now, or the bill is mine. Is it the cocktail of all the unnaturals that have a profound effect on the early stages of development in humans? Soon people won't be able to make new humans anymore, but I guess that would be la-la and great. We can just design them in a lab. Well, interesting. Fun. Jeffrey Epstein also ordered 330 gallons of sulfuric acid, and we wanted to, and the day the FBI opened an investigation into him. What can you do with sulfuric acid? You can do a lot of things. Can you get up uses for sulfuric acid? No, I mean literally, because we should give him the benefit of the doubt. Some people think he might have been ordering it to dissolve the bodies of people that he had killed. Fertilizer production. The largest use is producing phosphoric acid, which is used to make ammonium sulfate and phosphate fertilizers. So maybe he was making his own fertilizer for the island instead of buying fertilizer. Metal processing, pickling, used in the iron and steel industry to remove oxidation, rust, and scale from steel sheets and billets before coating. Maybe. Lead acid batteries, chemical manufacturing, petroleum refining, industrial cleaning and maintenance. Laboratory and industrial applications. Due to its high acidity and corrosiveness, it is a highly regulated substance requiring careful handling. Now, some people believe that they open this investigation into him and he goes, listen, I copped a sweetheart deal. Now, when did he get this? When they opened up the first one, or what? When was this? Do we know exactly when he ordered this, 2018. Now, this is after he made that sweetheart deal the first time. So he's saying to himself, I might be able to survive the sex trafficking angle of this. The intelligence communities will say it's not sex trafficking. And I'll be able to say, I groped a 17-year-old again. I'm sorry. And we'll do another sweetheart deal. But then Ghislaine before like, but darling, we've killed all these people. And he's like, right. We did kill a lot. We killed a lot. So then he's going, well, we got to get rid of all these people we killed. We got to get rid of them. We got to burn. We got to dissolve them in acid because I might be able. And I bet this is what went through his mind. I think I'm right. He goes, I'll make another sweetheart deal. They'll just write me off as a creep. The intelligence side of this is going to protect the trafficking stuff. You got to remember the first time he's accused, there's like 200 victims and he cops to touching one of them inappropriately during a massage. He's going, well, I'll just do that again. Here's the problem. He killed all these people. Darling, we killed all these people, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, you must deal with it, darling. Darling, we've killed them all, Jeffrey. We've got to kill them all. You've got to dissolve them now, darling. Burn them up. Dissolve them with acid, darling. So Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein spent decades trafficking young women, children, and everyone in between, and probably young men and boys and what God only knows. Allegedly! But they did all of this, and they were supposed to believe that but nobody died, nobody got killed. Jeffrey Epstein's ex, by the way, get her up, Karina, she said, he's not part of the Luciferian cult, but they do sacrifice babies. That's what she said on X. That's what his ex-girlfriend said. She said that. She goes, he's not even involved with that. You gotta love, by the way, nothing's better than like a woman who has a guy's back. He's not even involved with the Luciferian sacrifice to children. He got involved for money. This woman, Karina, who's Jeffrey Epstein's ex-girlfriend, literally is on X saying, yeah, he got involved with these people. They're in a cult. They sacrifice kids. But he was just trying to make money. He's not even involved with that. So this woman's coming out to defend this guy who I don't even know. Is he dead? He might be dead. But maybe he's somewhere. Maybe he's in Russia. We don't know where he is. And now they're hating on Les Wexner. Why would they do that? Why would they hate on Les, owner of Victoria's Secret, the limited brands? They're saying he's a co-conspirator. He's an old guy, Les Wexner. He'll probably exit stage left soon, I would imagine. But you got to get up this tweet from Jeffrey Epstein's ex-girlfriend because it is so funny. It is just so funny. The Overton window on this stuff has now moved into like where it's like it's completely possible in polite society right now to say to yourself, oh, wait, are they cannibals? And you can say that now. You can say that now at a lunch. You don't have to feel any type of way of saying that at a lunch and bringing it up going, well, did you see the tweet from his ex-girlfriend, Karina, who says that they're actually a cult and they're sacrificing children. However, Jeffrey wasn't even involved in that. He was just in it for money. And you could tell your kids, I mean, that's a great story to tell your kids and say, if you prioritize money and you get involved with money, there will be a chance that you're running a human trafficking operation and that there are elements of that that want you to procure children to be sacrificed to Baal. That's what happens when you prioritize money. That's why you should just do what you love. But that's the thing with Jeffrey Epstein, and this is also a problem. He did what he loved, and he was good at it. This is a real issue, and this is something to wrestle with. Now, obviously, he was evil, but the man was dialed in. The man was locked in. He was in a flow state. That's part of the problem here. Part of the problem is that this man was like perfectly suited for what he did. He was perfectly suited for what he did. He was not at all in some type of like, this was not like an unnatural place for this guy to be. This guy fully, this was the life he was meant to live. I don't know what that means. I don't know that that's good, but this is the life he was meant to live. There's no, I don't think he regretted anything either. I don't think he regretted it. I don't think Jeffrey Epstein regretted it. I'm not defending it. Do you have this tweet up? Now this is this the tweet about the cult? Okay. Well, it is out there. We'll put it on in post. Tulsi Gabbard is being accused of something. We don't know what she's being accused of. And no one will tell us. No one will tell us what Tulsi Gabbard is doing. But apparently it's so bad. It's so destructive. And listen, we've criticized Tulsi Gabbard on the show. And, you know, we like Tulsi a little bit. But we also have criticized her because, you know, again, we're criticizing anyone that's, you know, not calling for the complete and total transparency with these files. Gabbard whistleblower complaint based on intercepted conversation about Jared Kushner, substance of the conversation, which covered in part issues related to Iran. So Tulsi Gabbard is like an anti-war person, and apparently she is conspiring, or two people are talking about Tulsi Gabbard. The highly classified whistleblower complaint against Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard is related to a conversation intercepted last spring in which two foreign nationals discussed Jared Kushner, according to U.S. officials familiar with the matter. It couldn't be determined which country the foreign nationals are from or what they discussed about Kushner, but the connection to Kushner sheds further light on the top secret whistleblower complaint that bureaucratically stalled within Gabbard's agency for 8 months and was kept locked in a safe until it reached Congress in heavily redacted form last week. Senior Trump administration officials said the claims about Kushner were demonstrably false, but declined to offer more specifics about the conversation on grounds that doing so could expose a highly sensitive surveillance method. The allegations in the conversations, the allegations in the conversation about Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, would be significant if verified. The allegations in the conversation about Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, would be significant if verified. I hope they're not saying that Jared Kushner has loyalty to another country besides America, because I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Don't you dare, Tom. Don't you dare. I won't believe it. I won't believe. If you spin some crazy lie that Jared Kushner's working on behalf of the interests of another country, you're out of here, pal. You're out of here. If you try to say that shit, I will not believe you. The same Jared Kushner who Benjamin Netanyahu used to sleep in his room when Jared got kicked out and went to the basement when Bibi would visit America. I don't believe it. I won't believe it. I literally will not believe it. The allegations in the conversation about Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, would be significant if verified, according to other U.S. officials familiar with its content. But those officials agreed there was no corroborating evidence to support the allegations. We don't even know what the allegations are. I imagine they're not going to say that this guy's working with the Israelis or whatever, because that's like obvious. There's no, you don't even need a secret phone call for that, by the way. I don't know what kind of secret phone call you would need to establish that. He's kind of doing it openly. This will go back to Russia again. Watch. They're going to be like, well, he's with Russia. It would be interesting. Kushner is at the center of some of the administration's toughest national security initiatives. He devised the plan to rebuild Gaza and has joined Trump envoy Steve Witkoff in negotiations to end the war in Ukraine and dismantle Iran's nuclear network. So there's apparently allegations against Kushner, and it was based on a foreign intelligence conversation collected by the NSA. I'm betting money they're going to say it's Russia. They're going to say that Russians are talking about Kushner and that he somehow is not to be trusted and that he's back channeling outside of the official negotiations or something. I don't think it's going to be Israel. We don't know. But apparently the NSA. And then Tulsi Gabbard's involved in this. How? She's got really nothing to do with Israel. I imagine they're going to say it's something to do with Russia because Tulsi's involved in this too. This is my guess. Keep going here. Like in Trump's first term, which he orchestrated peace talks between Israel and Arab nations, Kushner touts his business background as an asset. What are all these business backgrounds, by the way? All these business backgrounds are seeming kind of fake, aren't they? All these people that just lose money and go bankrupt and then get more money. What are all these business backgrounds, all these people? Have they all get bailed out by somebody somewhere? And we're all supposed to believe that this is all happenstance or the result of someone's business acumen. They're all, it's a genius. And all these people just have money and go bankrupt and lose all their money and somehow reconstitute their wealth. They're able to get all the money back all the time. And they never have any, they have financial problems, but they're never apparent to anyone because they're all still doing quite well. So isn't that odd to people? So it's strange. Again, the Kushners for many years had this building in New York, 666, I believe was the address, either 5th or Park Avenue. And it was like a building that they had to sell. It was like, go and get this up, get six Kushner's building up in New York City. And they had all these financial problems with this building. And I think they finally sold it. They had all these issues. And Kushner's father blackmailed his brother, or Kushner's uncle blackmailed his father, hired a hooker, filmed them. I mean, they're nice, fun people. They're just fun family people. Yeah, Kushner Companies purchased 666 Fifth Avenue for $1.8 billion in 2007, a highly leveraged deal, and it struggled with debt and vacancy. After failed redevelopment plans, they sold a 99-year lease to Brookfield Asset Management in 2018. So here's the deal. They purchased this in 2007, Kushner's family firm. It was at the most expensive office building purchase in Manhattan history. Failed redevelopment. Kushner Companies planned a massive overhaul of the 39-story tower into a 1,400-foot mixed-use skyscraper with Zaha Hadid Architects. Famous architect. She's done a lot of great buildings. One at 10,000 Museum in Miami, or whatever it's called, 1,000 Museum. The 2018 deal. Brookfield Asset Management acquired the 99-year ground lease in 2018, which allowed the Kushner Companies to exit the struggling investment. The Kushners needed a bailout for Jared. There you go. Go to the right. Go to this article here to the right. The Kushners needed a bailout for Jared's bad bet in New York, but still have a full portfolio in New Jersey. So now that's an article from 2018. I believe if you go up, let me see when it was written. August 12th, 2018. And they're talking about this openly, that they made a bad bet. They needed a bailout. And I'm not saying people don't get bailed out. I'm not saying these things don't happen. Obviously, Jared Kushner's ill-advised bet on New York City real estate has finally played out with an exit strategy that will allow his family's real estate company to emerge from more than $1 billion of debt on a 41-story Manhattan office tower. Here's what I'm throwing out there. I think it's kind of interesting. And again, I don't want to be too conspiratorial. This is not a great week for the people that say conspiracies are fake and everyone who believes in them are dumb, huh? That's not a great week. It's not a great week. Is it possible that some of these bad real estate bets, stock bets, whatever, are rescued, but then the people that are getting rescued are then, to a degree, controlled by the people that have arranged the rescue? It's something to think about, at the very least. It's something to think about. If you can exit a deal and wash $1 billion in bad debt, are you potentially in the debt of the people who arranged that deal or who helped that deal happen or who allowed you to escape? Is this I don't know. Is this a crazy thing to suggest? I don't know. I don't know. Now get up Jared Kushner's father and his brother. We've talked about this on the show before. And the hooker and the blackmail. This seems to be kind of a thing. I believe Kushner's father in 2004 to 2005, Charles Kushner, a wealthy real estate developer, Democratic donor, and father of Jared Kushner, pleaded guilty to 16 counts of tax evasion, witness retaliation, making false statements to the Federal Election Commission. The case, prosecuted by Chris Christie, included a widely reported sordid revenge plot against his own sister and brother-in-law. Charles Kushner was furious that his brother-in-law, William, was cooperating with federal investigators in a tax evasion case against him. Kushner hired a prostitute for $25,000 to seduce his brother-in-law at a New Jersey motel. Kushner had the sexual encounter secretly filmed and sent the videotape to his sister, Esther, to intimidate them. Instead of being intimidated, the Shoulders turned the tape over to federal prosecutors, leading to the case against Charles Kushner. So this is what the Kushner family is like about. This is like how they operate. So I'm just wondering what these allegations are against Jared Kushner, what they are, what they mean. And Kushner is married to Ivanka Trump, who's Donald Trump's daughter. So this is interesting. Again, imagine explaining this to somebody from another planet who had just landed. So the guy in charge of the Middle East peace plan and rebuilding Gaza and ending the Ukraine war with Russia, the Russia-Ukraine war, married the president's daughter, in 2018 got bailed out of a billion-dollar bad real estate deal in New York. This guy's father blackmailed his sister and his brother-in-law because of dealings and tax evasion dealings and shady business dealings that went wrong. He tried to intimidate his brother-in-law and his sister, and instead of being intimidated, they turned the tape over to federal prosecutors, and Charles Kushner served 14 months in a federal prison camp in Alabama and 10 months in a halfway house in New Jersey. His son is negotiating. So Kushner's like one of the most influential people in the world, Jared Kushner. And we don't know much about him other than that his dad tried to blackmail his sister. They made a very bad billion-dollar bet. Netanyahu used to hang out with the family when he visited New York and stay in Kushner's room. It's all known. And now supposedly there's some weird intelligence complaint about Tulsi Gabbard or whatever. I don't know. I'm wondering about all these business deals that everybody has. And I'm curious as to like how this all works. What you will see over the next few months now with a lot of the people in the ruling class that want to retain their powers of position and wealth, and it's going to happen over the next 6 days, but we're just talking, we're going to walk it out a little bit. They're all going to start to turn on the people in these files. The people in these files are going to resign from boards, from organizations. They're going to step back, and then they're going to transfer all of their money to someone else for legal reasons, for public relations reasons, for all of that. And it's going to come out. The stuff in this, all these files is going to come out, and it's going to get really bad. There's going to be sacrificial lambs. You're going to throw somebody out and go, this guy's a scumbag, that one's a scumbag. It'll be old people. It'll be people that are dying. It'll be whatever. And then they will kind of try to move on past it. This. They'll put the blanket over it, and they'll go, well, let's move on. This was actually nothing. It was a couple of creeps, a few bad apples. Remember Abu Ghraib? A few bad apples. It was a design program. It's actually a good analogy. When it came out, the troops, you know, those photos of like people in Iraq, the cigarette chick, the torturing, and they go, oh, it's a few bad apples. And it turns out, no, it was a meticulously designed program by the CIA, and it was being administered all over the world in these black site torture prisons. in the same way that they're going to say that this is a few bad apples, a few creeps, a Prince Andrew, a Jeffrey Epstein. No, it's a meticulously designed way of doing business that people even do. They even do it with their own family. They even do it with their own family. Go, no, we're going to, we know that that works. We're going to do it close to home. So this is a well-established order of doing business and always has been. And the idea that like this is not somewhat institutional or that this isn't serving existing power dynamics and propping them up and preventing them from being questioned is insane. So anyone who's saying that stuff is completely crazy. We'll see more about what happens here in the next few weeks. But I imagine that the get up Massey, get up what Thomas Massey is saying. I imagine that the drumbeat to release these that's coming out right now, you're not going to be able to stop this. You're not going to be able to stop this. This is going to come out. This is going to come out. And what's interesting about Jared Kushner, by the way, is he didn't want an official role in this administration. He wanted to just kind of float. It's true. He wanted to do his own thing. So he just wanted to kind of float. He didn't want an official role. He's like, let me be the negotiator. Why is he negotiating all these deals? I mean, all he provably did was make this really weird real estate bet in New York to get bailed out. Why is he negotiating all this stuff? I guess he's a great negotiator. So he's out there negotiating all these new deals, I guess, because he's so good at all this stuff. So here we go. Thomas Massey is saying, I'm not going to be intimidating. President's attacking me. So Massey and Ro Khanna are really trying to get these files out. The rest of these files out. What? Here's the question. What will they do to prevent this? What will they do to prevent these files from coming out? What exactly links? We're not going into Iran. Trump, to his credit, told Bibi, we're not going into Iran. As of now, that's where we are. There's no Iran for right now. Bibi came to the White House going, we want to go to Iran. And Trump's like, we're not going into Iran. Thanks. Thank you. We get it. But they have nuclear weapons? Yeah. We're not going into Iran. So we don't know what's going to happen or where we're going to go domestically. But this is the big story. And I know a lot of people have built their careers, or at least part of their careers, on being like, I'm the rational guy. Like, there's all these conspiracy people and I'm the rational one. I'm the guy that will tell you that conspiracies are all invented and they're all dumb and that everyone who believes in them is dumb and that everybody who entertains this sphere is an idiot and the world needs to be explained to them in a super simple way. This is all of those people, these files, is the destruction of their credibility completely. 1,000%. The full collapse of any credibility that the debunkers have that are running around talking about these conspiracy. This is all of these congressmen, by the way, congressmen, congresswomen, senators, people that are looking at these unredacted files, their fucking minds are blown. Their minds are fucking blown. And they're going, whoa. The Sultan, I liked the torture video. Or was Jeffrey the one responding saying, Jeffrey was saying, I liked the torture video that the Sultan sent him. These people are emailing about this shit. They don't care. They're emailing about it. They don't care. There's no fear that they're ever going to get in trouble for any of this. I liked the torture video. That was a good one. I enjoyed the torture video. And it was sent by this guy, Sultan Ahmed bin Sulayem, who has now resigned as CEO of DP World after DOJ documents expose his ties to Epstein. He's a global. Wait, what was he? Go up. A global shipping executive. A global shipping executive. What was he shipping? I'm in China. I'll be in the U.S. second week of May. Where are you? Are you okay? I love the torture video to the Sultan, who's a billionaire and a global shipping executive, by the way. So that's a fun business, huh? Shipping. Anyone trying to say that, like, this is all fake or invented has no credibility. Their credibility is completely collapsed. You don't even have to listen to them. They're either getting paid or they're being stupid for a reason, and it's either disingenuous, they're making money or whatever. But the idea that all of this stuff adds up to nothing, that it all adds up to nothing, and the idea that this was somebody who, like, hooked up with a 17-year-old who looked 23, that's a lie. Let's smash that narrative that isn't true either, by the way. Yeah, play this. This is a drop site news thing. We had Ryan Grimm on, who we like, but let's. This is someone who had a chance to review these unredacted documents.
To review any of the unredacted files over at the DOJ, the Epstein files?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I just came from there.
What can you tell us?
There's a bunch of sick fucks.
And I mean, anything more that we don't know? I feel like that's pretty well established.
I know. I think the part that is just so disgusting is that so many people knew.
Did he have any ties?
So here's the other thing. This is the thing about conspiracies. This is the one thing they always say. They go, well, how could so many people keep their mouth shut? There's no way conspiracies could exist because there's so many people would have to be in on it. That's like the dumb guy thing that everyone says. But so many people, so many people can be in, but people keep their mouth shut about a lot. People keep their mouth shut about a lot. Threaten their money, threaten their food, threaten their family. You don't even have to threaten. It's implied. It's implicit. They know if they open their mouth, they're opening themselves up to liability legally, financially. People shut their mouth. People shut their mouth all the time. How could people? There's so many people who would have to keep quiet about it. And they will. They will. What are we running around with a bunch of heroes in this country? What are you fucking idiots? We got a bunch of heroes in this country. Willing to risk it all. I'm going to risk it all to help some woman I don't know. Half of those people want to, they're jealous they can't rape the women. What are you talking about? We're a bunch of heroes. They're going to risk life and limb to help their fellow man. What country do you live in? Fucking get out of here. What country do you live in? Well, so many people would have to be in on it. No. They would gladly be in on it. They would willfully be in on it because they don't want to make their lives any more difficult than they already are. That's why they're not coming to the defense of anything. They don't care. So many people would have to be there. No, there's an enforced code of silence. And you know what enforces it? Threats to people's livelihood, their level of comfort. And we're not talking about poor people that have nothing to lose here. We're talking about people that have a lot of fucking money. They have a position in society that they don't want to lose. So many people would have to be in a... Why aren't there more heroes in Aspen? Why aren't there more heroes in Aspen on the slopes? Aren't they heroic? Where's all the heroes in Palm Beach? Where are all the heroes? Where's the spirit that founded the country? The spirit of the people that fought the British. What? Can you imagine? Just think about it for a second. You're in Aspen. You wake up at the lodge. It's snowing outside. You have a cup of coffee. And someone comes up to you and they go, did you know that guy Jeffrey Epstein? You go, they think he's trafficking women and children. And like, now, half of them, let's be honest, half of their response is, oh, I'm like also doing that. And then they go, is there good money in that? You have no idea. You have no idea what a good business it is. That's half of them. Half of them go, oh, I'm actually doing that. I'm also doing that. You're doing that. I heard you were doing that. Now that's good business there. Oh yeah, we put him on. We've got a Sultan who's a billionaire. He does shipping. We throw him in a crate. Interesting. Are you getting the waffle? Do you want to split the waffle? That's half of them. Now the other half would go like this. Okay, so like best case, worst case, they're also trafficking women and children in Aspen when they say that. That's the worst case. You go, oh yeah, I know. I've been to the island. I know exactly what he's doing. Do you want his number? That's worst case. Worst case, they go, oh, you need his number? I have his number. Best case, they go like this. Somebody goes, I hear there's a guy, that Jeffrey guy that we met. He's like a shady guy. He's involved with trafficking women and children. This is what they do with the coffee. Ready? Huh. Do it again. You just heard that Jeffrey Epstein was trafficking women and children. You're in Aspen, Colorado. Fresh coat of powder on the hills, on the mountains. Fresh coat of powder on the mountains. You're sipping coffee at the lodge. You hear 9 a.m. Jeffrey Epstein trafficking women and children. Somebody tells you, you know that guy Jeffrey we met? He's trafficking women and children. Your response. Huh. That's what it was. That's what it is. What do you think they're going to do? Well, let's call the FBI right now. Let's interrupt our vacation and launch a crusade to destroy this billionaire and ourselves in the process, because we're heroes. Heroes in Aspen. We've got it. We're heroes. Most of these people, their money's like fake. They know it's fake. They know it's fake. They know it's fake. They don't even know how they're that rich, half these people. God forbid this thing starts to boomerang on them. They're all going, God forbid, they start looking at how we have our money. How the fuck do we have our money? So this idea that there's just a bunch of heroes in this country, in Palm Beach or in the Hamptons. They're in the Hamptons, they're eating a lobster roll, and they're sitting there, and the bugs are flying around, and it's humid, and they're eating a lobster roll in the Hamptons in the summer, and somebody comes up to them and goes, that guy Jeffrey, you know, I hear he does weird shit with women and children. And they imagine that at that point, these people spring up out of their seats in their pink polos and their white linens, you know, their white linen shirts or whatever, and they spring up and they go, this can't stand. Let's all bond together to make sure that no woman or child is abused. We are the heroes in the Hamptons. They're Hamptons heroes. And then they get in their Broncos, their old Bronco trucks that they drive around, and their BMW X5s. And they all get in their cars and they go, we're going, and we're not gonna stop. No, there's not. And I've only had money for about 5 years, and I've met some of these people. I've been in some of these environments. Number one, normal people probably wouldn't do anything either. But the idea, some of them would. Some people obviously have done it and provably have risked a lot of their professional life to bring things like this to light. There's been journalists that have done it. I've had them on the show. There are people that have done it in real life. But like this idea that the most privileged people, the wealthiest people, the people who they themselves don't want you looking into whatever the hell they got going on, the people that are from like multi-generational families, wealthy families that want to be out of the public eye, that are very private by their nature, the idea that they're going to like spring into action if they hear that someone's trafficking women and children, the idea that they're going to like, while they're in St. Lucia, walking on the beach, they're going to spring into action. And they're going to go, I'm going to make it my life's mission to uncover the truth. Here's what you'll never hear. Here's what you'll never hear if you're at one of those dinners. We got to get to the truth. We got to get to the truth of this, bunny. Lover, we're getting to the truth. We're not going to keep living this life where we bounce around the globe. We're not living this very, very lovely kind of coddled life of boats and planes and beaches and ski slopes. We're done with that. We're getting to the truth now. Your marriage would collapse immediately. Your marriage would immediately collapse if you said to your wife, or your wife said to you, I'm sick of this shit. The Hamptons, the south of France, the Amalfi Coast. What's it all for? What's it all for? The kids in the best universities, money and houses everywhere, boats and private jets. What the fuck's it for if we can't protect women and children? That's what I want to say. You would get divorced. And you would get divorced, and the attorney would totally get it. Hi, Bob. It's me. Listen. We got to talk. Suzette has lost it. Bob, the other night, she launches into some tirade. She goes, I don't want to go to the south of France anymore. I want to save women and children. What is this disease? Is it a tumor? Do you think it's a tumor? I told her, we were on our way. We're on a drive up to Montecito. She said, I want to dedicate the rest of our lives to helping women and children. And I said, I think you have a brain tumor. Should we get her an MRI? They would think you had a brain tumor. Truly, if you said, I don't care about this money, I want to get to the truth, anyone in that group would think you have a brain tumor. I know enough of these people and how they act. The young kids are fun. You know, they play with socialism like a board game whilst they sail around the globe. And their parents just request their presence at dinner occasionally, and they all kind of stare at each other and then quietly eat food, and everybody's got something else going on. But the idea that any of these people at any time would say, we're going to jeopardize our entire standing to launch a full court press here against this Jeffrey Epstein, who's backed by intelligence. Number one, that shuts the convo down immediately. You just go, yeah, he's in with intelligence. We don't know what he's doing. They're raping the kids, I think, for our safety. Oh, okay. I thought it was something like that. You know, there's nothing that quiets people down. Like the word intelligence just shuts everyone up immediately. As soon as you say this is intelligence or that is intelligence, it scares off local law enforcement. It scares off federal law enforcement. It scares off everybody because it is assumed that whatever is happening needs to happen. That's exactly what intelligence means. It means it's above your head. You wouldn't understand it. But if you did, you would know that it needs to be done. Shut up. And if you inquire about it anymore, you're opening yourself up to a lot of problems here because you're threatening on exposing the sensitive nature of whatever intelligence thing is going on. So all you would have to say to the Palm Beach set, Hamptons, Aspen, whatever, Sea Island, Georgia, you know, Santa Barbara, Napa, anything you would have to say up there, all you would have to say is if it even got there, you go, oh, he's involved with intelligence. There's something murky going on. But it would never even get there. It would never even get there because if you said you wanted to help children and women, people would think you had a tumor. They would think you had a tumor on your brain if you started talking about any of this stuff. Because there's this really shady guy and they say these kids are disappearing and they would go, oh, you have a brain tumor. I have to divorce you. I'm sorry. That's really true. That's what it would be. So this idea that like everybody would have to be in on it. It's like, no. It is the most easily explained thing ever, dummies. And these are just people that don't know how the world works. You don't know anything about how the world works. So they just talk. They just say things they've heard other people say before. Conspiracies are fake because it would take too many people. And people are actually stupid. People are and this is what dumb people say about other people to feel like they're smart. People are too stupid to do conspiracies, actually. People are just incompetent. This is like the Bill Maher talking point. The brilliant Bill Maher talking point, which to his credit, he did come out and say, let's give QAnon an apology. But like, and there's a lot of smart people that have this talking point where they're like, well, people are actually too stupid. No. They just don't want to get involved. The more shit you have, the more you risk. And the minute anyone says the word intelligence, you're out. You're like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Get involved with them, the people that killed Kennedy. I'm going to start doing shit with them. It's automatically assumed when you say the word intelligence that these people are the worst mix of criminal, government. It's like everything you don't want to fuck with. You don't want to fuck with the mob. You don't want to fuck with the government. You don't want to fuck with cults. And intelligence is like all of that. It's like all of those. It's elements from all of those things mixed together. It's the ultimate fuck you if you don't want, you don't want to play around with that. You don't want to play around with it because they have tremendous power. But we are unafraid of them here because we are protected, of course, by God and his emissary on earth, Candace Owens. TimDillonComedy.com. Thank you. Good night. Bye-bye.